Thank you, Carol. If I'm not deceiving myself, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read the 16th verse. I'm going to attempt to preach on the shield of faith. And I hope this will be a blessing to all of us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul writes, above all. Don't miss that. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, what does Paul mean when he says, above all, taking the shield of faith? Is he saying that faith is more important than these other pieces of armor? No. He's not saying that at all. Is he saying faith is more important than the truth? Having your loins girt with truth? Obviously not. You can't have faith if your loins are not girt with truth. Is he saying faith is more important than that breastplate of righteousness? The righteousness of Jesus Christ as my own personal righteousness before God? Why? Faith's not important. More important than that. That's what faith believes. Is he saying faith is more important than having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Absolutely not. Faith is relying on the gospel of peace. That's faith's readiness. Is he saying that faith is more important than the helmet of salvation? Certainly not. If you're saved, you have faith. You can't say that faith is more important than the great truth of salvation being of the Lord and salvation being by grace. Is he saying faith is more important than the sword of the Spirit? Absolutely not. Faith comes from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All six of these pieces of the Christian armor are of equal importance, and they all go together. You can't have one of them or five of them. You either have all six of them or you don't have them at all. Now, I was listening to a preacher preach on these pieces of the Christian armor, and he says they're provided for the believer so they can live the victorious Christian life. Now, the man who said that doesn't understand anything about the Christian armor. And my thought is I would like to say to him, shame on you. You're putting all the emphasis on how somebody's living and keeping them from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer has every piece of this glorious armor, and we're to put it on constantly as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is this armor. And all of these pieces of armor are aspects of what God does for the believer. He gives him the truth. He gives him righteousness. He saves him by the gospel of peace. He has the shield of faith. He has the shoes of the gospel. He has the sword of the Spirit. Every believer has these blessed pieces of armor provided by God, and they're all of equal importance. They cannot be separated. Well, what is he saying then when he says, above all, take the shield of faith? Now, this word shield is different than the word that is generally translated shield. When you think of shield, you think of something about that big to ward off blows and so on. But this is not the shield he was speaking of. The shield that is used here was about as big as a door. And as a matter of fact, the word is taken from the word door. Now, this is a shield made of wood and brass. It was about as big as a door. And when you were coming upon a city or if you were coming upon an army where there would be archers shooting their arrows in the air, you would get behind this shield and every part of you would be protected. Now, if you had archers shooting at you, would you want a little small shield that you could try to figure out where the arrow was coming, block it? Or would you want to be completely behind a big shield to where no archer could get at you? Now, this is what this is talking about. This shield would protect the entire body. The soldier could get completely behind this shield for his protection. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the sword would all be behind this large shield. And it is only by this shield that we can be protected from the arsenal of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, these are comprehended by John when he says, all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh. And what a temptation that can be. We have a fallen, sinful nature, the lust of the flesh. How many different ways can those fiery darts be fired at you? The lust of the eyes. That's being more concerned about what men think. That's keeping up with the Joneses. That's wanting to be popular. That's wanting to be conformed to this world so you'll be loved by the world. Being more concerned about what men think than God thinks. The pride of life. Self-righteousness. That's what that's a reference to. Looking to yourself rather than Christ. What a temptation that is. Looking to yourself rather than Christ. That's perhaps the biggest temptation a believer ever is called upon to bear. Well, the only thing that will protect us from these fiery darts is the shield of faith. And let me say this about the shield of faith. This is not talking about my faith subjectively. You know, my subjective faith, sometimes it seems strong, sometimes it seems weak, sometimes it seems non-existent. You know, the Lord said to His disciples, where is your faith? You're not practicing at all right now. O ye of little faith. And my shield is not made of my subjective faith, but this is talking about the objective faith of the gospel. Not your faith. The faith. The faith of the gospel. You see, our subjective faith is subject to so much change. So many ups, so many downs. And I don't want that as my shield. I want the faith. The gospel is actually called the hearing of faith. It's called the one faith and the common faith that every believer possesses. The faith of God's elect. Now, in thinking about this thing of faith, remember, this is not a reference to your or my subjective faith, although we have faith. But it's talking about the faith. Now, remember this about your faith, and I hope this will be helpful. The strength or the weakness of your faith has absolutely no bearing on your salvation. It's the object of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, not the strength of your faith or the weakness of your faith, but the object of your faith that saves. I love what the Philippian jailer asked when he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I love the simplicity of the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord. He is the Lord. That means He's the one who controls everything. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of providence. He controls everything that happens in time. He's the Lord of salvation. He can will your salvation, and He does will the salvation of everybody He saves. He's the Lord. He's Jesus. That's His name, a Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He's the Christ. He's God's prophet. He brings God's word. He is the word of God. He's God's priest. He brings His own blood. Unlike those Old Testament priests who brought the blood of animals, He brings His own blood that always is successful and presents it to the Father. He's God's King. His will actually is done. And He's got the the authority to cause you to be saved. Now, this is who we believe on, the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly, faith is in Christ alone. Now, why does the Lord say several times in the New Testament, thy faith has saved thee? I can answer that question. Because faith looks to Christ alone and gives Him all the glory. Now, if you have a kind of faith that doesn't look to Him alone at all times, it's not saving faith. That's not the faith that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's faith in yourself. That's faith in your experience. That's faith in your intentions. That's faith in your works. That kind of faith is not saving faith at all. Faith is always alone. Faith looks only to Christ. And if the Lord causes me to live 90 years, I'm by His grace, I'm going to be looking to Christ alone. Not Christ and anything, Christ alone. Now that is faith alone. And it's the objective truth of the faith. Chosen in Christ, redeemed by Christ, justified by Christ, called by Christ, regenerated by the Spirit of Christ, preserved in Christ Jesus, glorified in Christ. I think of what the Lord prayed for Peter. He said, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Now, Peter failed. Peter made a mess of things. Peter denied any connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, at that time, he thought, after this took place, I'm not saved. I couldn't be saved. There's no way I could be saved and do the things that I did. And if you would have asked Peter, Peter, do you believe you're saved? I believe he would have said, probably not. I doubt it. But do you know there was no time when Peter ceased to believe that Jesus was and is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me remind you, faith doesn't have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. It has wholly to do with what you believe concerning Him, His person, and His work. It's the objective faith of the gospel that is our shield. Not my subjective faith, not my the strength of my faith or the weakness. No, it's the faith of the gospel. Now, the reason he says above all things, take the shield of faith, is that faith has something to do with grace. Always. It is the saving grace. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. I mean, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved. But what's it say next? Through faith. And that faith, it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me read this passage from Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Paul says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, if you are made an heir because of what you do, salvation dependent upon what you do in some way, that's what law means, faith is made void. It's made meaningless. And the promise made of none effect because the law worketh wrath. That's all it does. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is a faith. What's a faith? Salvation. It is a faith that it might be by grace. Now, the only way salvation can be truly all of grace if it comes only through faith. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law or the Jews, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, the only way salvation can be sure, the only way the promise is sure to come to all the seed, is if salvation is all of grace. And the only way salvation is all of grace is if salvation comes through faith and not of works. Are believers eternally secure if salvation is by grace? They are. You see, faith is the grace of salvation. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want to stay here in Romans 4 for just a moment. Paul says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? How about Abraham? How was he saved? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. You see, if Abraham was saved by works, that means God was paying him salvation. He was paying him for deeds performed, and that shall never be. If Abraham were justified by works, he'd have something to glory in, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, I hear this is a quotation from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. God said, look at the stars, Abraham. Can you count them? No. So shall thy seed be. Abraham didn't have any seed at that time. He didn't have any descendants. He didn't have any children. He didn't have the possibility of having any children. But he believed what God said. With absolutely no evidence but the naked word of God, he believed God was true. And he believed what God said. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, does that mean that the act of faith is counted for righteousness? No. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, given to the believer, is counted for righteousness. Faith believes that. Faith believes and relies upon Christ's righteousness that it's given to every believer through the gospel. Now, he goes on to say, verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, what that means is if any part of my salvation in any way, to any degree, is ultimately dependent upon me doing anything, I don't care what you put in there, if it's dependent upon me doing anything, that means if I'm saved, God is paying me for deeds done. It's not a gift. It's Him paying for me. God is obligated to me to render payment to me for what I have done. He owes me salvation. Now that's what work says. Now to him that worketh is the reward, salvation, not reckoned of grace, but of debt, God owing it to him. But, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Scripture, but to him that worketh not. Now, are you convinced that insofar as your case goes, if salvation is dependent upon anything you do, there is no hope for you? To him that worketh not. You know you cannot be saved by your works. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, there's faith, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Do you believe on him that justifieth the ungodly? Do you believe that what Christ has done is all that's needed to make you just before God? Where God would declare that you're just, you're righteous, your sin has been paid for, and now God can be just and justify you, even though you're ungodly in and of yourself. Do you believe that? My dear friend, that's what faith is. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, it works like this. I am utterly righteous
in God's sight. And my faith is counted as righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean my faith is my righteousness before God. Let me remind you, faith didn't die for your sins. Christ did. Faith didn't obey the law for you. Christ did. Faith was not raised from the dead for you. Christ was. That's what faith believes. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And that's the only thing that'll quench those fiery darts. Knowing that you're justified by what Christ has done for you. Now, I would like to look at another passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. This is the great chapter on faith. And we read beginning in verse 1. Now, faith, remember, above all things, take the shield of faith. That's the objective faith of the gospel. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I have a hope. Hope's not something you see, but you hope for it. I have a hope that on Judgment Day, God is going to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I have a hope that I'm going to hear those words. Now, somebody says, do you have that high an opinion of yourself that you think he's going to say that to you? Well, I've got that high opinion of Christ. And I believe that what Christ did merits the "well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I'm in him. Faith is the substance. That's the substance of things hoped for. My faith apprehends the Lord Jesus Christ and relies on him. And next he says it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't have any access to the Lamb's Book of Life. I can't see my name recorded there. I don't have any physical, tangible evidence that I'm in there. I can't say, I can prove to you that my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can prove to you that I'm one of the elect. And I know I am. How do you know? Because I believe the gospel. I look to Christ only, and that's what God's elect do. I cannot see that I stand before God absolutely just, without sin. That's what justification is. Sinlessness. You've never sinned. You stand before God holy, perfect, perfectly righteous before the law of God. Now, I can't see that, but I know I am. How? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The evidence that I'm justified is that I believe the gospel. I really do. I really believe that Jesus Christ is my righteousness before God. I can't see that I'm holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, but I know I am because I believe the gospel. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he is able to present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I love David's words, his dying words in 2 Samuel chapter 23. He said, although my house, this is in the 5th verse, although my house be not so with God. Now he, no doubt, was speaking to his family. He had a family of rebels, a family of people who had no love for God, a family of people who were his own enemies and sought to destroy him. His house was a mess. And not only was his house, his children, his wives, a mess. He's talking about this house, this body. Although this body, this house that I'm living in, this body, this earthly tent, is not so with God. He was aware of sinfulness and weakness right up to the end. Although my house be not so with God, yet, in spite of that, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. No way this is going to go wrong. I can't do anything to mess it up. And this is all my salvation. This is it. This is all my desire. I don't desire anything else. And this is all my salvation. And then he ends that statement with this curious statement, though he maketh it not to grow. Now, I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to grow in the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. I want to grow. So what does David mean when he says, though he make it, this salvation, this everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure? What does he mean that make it not to grow? It can't grow. It's already complete. It can't become bigger. It can't become better. That's what every believer is in the Lord Jesus Christ, although my house be not so with God. Yet, in spite of that, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then he says in verse 2, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, we are saved the same way the Old Testament saints were saved, through faith in Christ. The only way I'm going to get a good report card, the only way you're going to get a good report card, is through faith in Christ. No other way. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. They were seen as perfectly righteous, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the same faith that every believer has. And then he says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. By faith we believe God created everything. We can't see it, but we believe it. We believe it with all of our heart. Verse 4, by faith Abel, I love this, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What did he offer? He offered the blood of a lamb. Now, I have no doubt that Adam instructed both of his boys, the only way you can approach God is through the blood of a lamb. And Abel believed that. Cain didn't. Cain thought, my works are just as good. He brought the fruit of the ground. And the scripture says that God had respect to Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and his offering, he had no respect, no regard. Now let's go on reading. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That's what faith says. It doesn't simply say Christ's righteousness was imputed to him. It says he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. You come the way Abel did, God's going to respect you. And you are righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You really are. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Enoch went straight into heaven. He never died. And the scripture says he pleased God. And most people, when they think of Enoch, they think Enoch was this heavenly-minded person who didn't have the problems with sin the normal person does, who was just obedient and good, and God just took him into heaven. Look what verse 5 says. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know how Enoch pleased God? Looking to Christ only. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, you see, faith is the work of God. What must we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, faith is a gift of God. By
grace are you saved through faith in that?
Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you look to Christ only right now as all you have? You've been given this precious gift of faith. Christ is the author of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but the word "our" is in italics. Best left out. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, if you have faith, you know He's the author of it and the finisher of it. But He is the author and the finisher of the faith. And faith is always alone. You add anything to it, and the fiery darts that are going to be fired your way cannot be quenched. It's faith alone. Somebody says, well, what about James chapter 2, where it says faith without works is dead, being alone? Don't you have to have works along with your faith? Well, let me tell you this. That's a complete misunderstanding of that passage of Scripture, if that's the way you see it. But I'll also say this. There will be works that prove you really did believe that Christ was all you had. There will be evidence that you really did believe that all you had was Christ. Listen to this Scripture. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith in Christ, looking to Him only, is sin. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, what a shield this is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And that's what faith is. It's believing who he is. This shield is not something you're so much adept at, you know, trying to hit dodge the fiery darts. No, this is that big door that you stay behind and don't even let a finger come out. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what abiding in Christ is. Now, let me close with this. Four times we read in the Scripture, the just shall live by faith. Four times. The justified, those who stand righteous before God, they shall live by faith. Now, the first time it's found is in the Old Testament in Habakkuk. I don't know how to pronounce it. I've called it Habakkuk, but I think it's Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 4, we read, behold, his soul that is lifted up is not right within him. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, faith in Christ is opposed to being lifted up. Faith in Christ is opposed to all self-righteousness and pride. Faith gives no room for self-righteousness and pride. It will not tolerate it. And then we read in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. It is faith that receives the very righteousness of God as its own personal righteousness. And the third time it's mentioned is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Faith is the enemy of being saved by the law. It won't have it. It's the enemy of someone being saved by what they do. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in Him. Now, you continue in faith. The just shall live by faith. This drawing back is the perseverance. You continue looking to Christ only as everything in your salvation. And if you draw back from that, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in you. The just shall live by faith only. And it's only through this shield, the shield of faith, that the fiery darts of the wicked will be quenched. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith that looks to thy Son only. And we ask that you'd give that to us for Christ's sake. Lord, we also would remember the Clarks at this time and the Fortners. We pray for your blessings upon them according to your will. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the shield of faith that looks to him only. In his name we pray. Amen.